Welcome to episode 18 of Practical Defense, an interview with Claudia. Welcome back to another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. We have a fantastic interview with a very brave woman this episode. With us is Claudia, who quite openly shares her traumatic experience with a home invader. Now, Claudia is a neighbor of mine, and her son is best friends with my nephew, and they go to school together. So, when she had a spare moment, we sat down and talked about her recent experience with a home invader who broke into her home at 6 in the morning while her entire family was just getting ready to start their day. So, thank you, Claudia, for coming to share your experiences with us.
You're welcome.
Okay, so let's start from the top. You had a home invader.
Yes, on November 15th.
November 15th,
so that wasn't 2007.
That 2007. So, what time was it?
It was 6 a.m. in the morning.
6 a.m. in the morning. Wow.
And I'm usually gone by then. I start my job at 6. And that day, I decided to go in an hour later. So I was going in at 7. So at 6 o'clock, I went into my bathroom to blow dry my hair.
Okay.
And I bent down, and I was wearing a little sundress because my son was up getting ready for school. He's in high school and has zero period. So he was watching TV in his room. So I went in and I said good morning to him. I went in my bathroom and started to blow dry my hair, actually the hall bathroom. I bent down. And I felt this hand on my breast because I was bent over blow drying the underneath of my hair.
Okay, so your hair was coming down.
Yes, over my face, and I was bent down. My head was like towards my knees, and I felt this hand on me. And I looked down, and I saw tennis shoes and sweatpants.
Okay.
And I thought, my husband doesn't wear sweatpants, and those aren't his tennis shoes. So I quickly stood up, turned around, and there was this African-American man staring at me right in the eyes. So I'm looking at him going, do I know him? Did somebody let him in the house? Who the hell is he?
Yeah, it had to have been pretty shocking to be getting ready for work and all of a sudden have this complete stranger in your house in your bathroom.
At 6 o'clock in the morning, mind you, with three trucks parked in front of the house. And the whole, we live in a close-knit community. Like, the neighbors are right on top of each other. And I never thought anything like that would happen, but we do live off of an alley. And I've always feared that alley since I've lived there I've lived there for 20 years.
Okay.
So, I stood up, and we looked at each other, and he looked kind of like, honey, I'm home. And I thought, oh, who is this man? And he had, he looked like a transient.
Okay.
He had a really nice creamy complexion that was clear. And he had a lot of face. And I started screaming. I had a blow dryer in my hand, a heavy blow dryer. But I threw it on the ground. And I elbowed him. And then I kept pushing him off of me. And I kept screaming, help, help. And I was determined not to be in that bathroom with him. So my son heard this going on, and he thought I was getting electrocuted.
Okay.
I think I left the blow dryer was still on, because when I came back after with the policeman, my blow dryer was still running.
Okay. So there's still a lot of noise going on then as well.
Yeah. So my son came running out of the bedroom, and he grabbed his bat because he saw all the commotion going on with the bathroom door opening and closing.
So he was trying to close the door to keep you in there?
Yes. Okay. And I kept trying to open it.
Wow. Now, you bring up your son. Now, how many people were in the house?
There are four people. I have two boys, and my older son's 17.
Okay.
And well, he was 16 at the time. My little one was 9.
9, okay.
And he was sleeping in my bed, in my bedroom, because he often comes in the middle of the night to sleep with us. And my husband went back to the back bedroom where my little boy's room is so he could get a good night's sleep.
Okay.
So he was still sleeping. So my son, my 16-year-old, well, he's 17 now, he came running down the hall with his bat. He started screaming. He was hysterical. And then he said, "Dad, Dad." So my husband woke up, and you could hear my husband screaming at the same time. And the guy just opened the door and took off.
No, he opened the bathroom door.
Yes, he opened the bathroom door because he heard my husband coming down the hall. And my son, like, it clicked that somebody was coming to this guy. So he just, he pushed open the door and ran out, and it was the best feeling of my whole life.
Seeing him run away?
Yes, but then so my husband ran out with, he grabbed the baseball bat from my son, and he ran out into the alley thinking that's where the guy got out of.
Okay. Now let's go back to your house. Now, is it a two-story house, a single-story house?
Single story, and we had a Doberman Pinscher that died 2 weeks before this.
Oh.
And so we had a very large dog. Well, we never changed the dog door out. We never shielded it. I couldn't find the shield for it, but we figured it doesn't, no hurry, because we're going to probably get another dog. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a fairly safe neighborhood.
I know, it's my neighborhood, too. We're just a few blocks away from each other.
Yeah.
So, you were in the bathroom with him, and he was trying to shut you in the bathroom with him. And
yes.
He didn't have any, seemed to have any regard for the other people in the house.
No,
he heard the commotion. They heard the TV going. He just came
saw the cars in the front. My husband owns an alarm company.
An alarm company?
Yes. I'm ashamed to say this.
So, your house had an alarm system?
Yes, but we didn't have it on.
It was not turned on.
Right. Okay. So, we should have changed out the door, number one. Because that's how he got in, through the dog door.
Okay.
And he walked to get... Okay, walked through the laundry room. The dog door was in the laundry room.
Okay.
He walked around the stove of my house, around the kitchen. I have a little kitchen island.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two knife sets sitting there.
Okay.
I shudder to think that... He walked right past him and didn't grab him. Then he walked past the counter where my purse was sitting and my son's wallet was, with money sticking out. He walked right past that.
Okay.
He came in the bathroom. I mean, it was your worst nightmare to ever happen in your life. It was a living nightmare just to stand up and his hands were cold. When he touched me, his hands were cold. I'll never forget that. So,
did he say anything to you?
He said, "Shh, shh."
Trying to shush you, just
yes,
to keep it quiet.
Yes. And I was just screaming my head off, because if you don't scream, forget it.
Yeah.
You have to have your wits about you. So, thank God I kept my wits. And I cringe to think if I was alone.
Yeah, that would have been.
Or in the middle of the night. So, as it happens, he did not come through the alley. He came through the side gate.
Now, how do you get to the side gate from your house? Is it just available from the front? Or?
Yes, from this front.
Okay, so he came from the front of the house, around the side of the house. Did
and
he have to go through any gates to get there?
No, he scaled a wall. There's a retaining wall in the side of my house. There was a gate, but it wasn't locked.
Okay.
And then there's a retaining wall, and then there's the pool area. And he came around the pool area.
So he went up the side of the house, into the back, and then in through the dog door.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And it's just so weird how it all happened, because I've always feared that alley, and yet he didn't come through the alley.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that in hindsight, while talking to the neighbors, he had been in the area for the past couple of weeks.
Oh, so the neighbors had seen him loitering around.
Yes. And, in fact, I'm thinking I had seen him also, because I water the lawn and garden outside in the front a lot for relaxation. And I'm thinking he might have walked by me and I said hello to him, because I'm just that way. Not anymore, though. So I'm thinking that he had seen me, and maybe... And the day before that, one of the neighbors that lives on the other side of Van Owen had said that his wife was walking his daughter to school, and they saw somebody with the same description in the alley.
Okay.
And so I'm thinking he must have known the dog was gone, either from, standing in the alley listening to us and not hearing the dog anymore.
Okay. So do you think that maybe he selected you specifically because he'd seen you before and he was kind of loitering in the area for a couple weeks?
Maybe. Maybe because I said hi to him and he felt a little... when you say hi to somebody, you immediately have some sort of connection to somebody. I don't care who it is, but you've acknowledged that person.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure anybody else in the neighborhood did that. And maybe he was, obviously he was a sick person. He didn't look like he was drugged out to me. He looked like no one was home.
Okay.
When I looked into his eyes, which I looked right into his eyes. So maybe he was sick and felt like if he made a connection with me, he was welcome in my house. I don't know.
So maybe when you spoke to him and said hello to him and were nice to him, that he sort of felt that as was an invitation?
Could have.
Okay. All right, so let's go back to the incident. He was in the house. He was in the bathroom. He was trying to lock you in the bathroom with him.
Mm-hmm.
And your son and your husband came in. Your son had a baseball bat, and they scared him away, and then he ran out. Now, which way did he run? Did he run back in the same way? Did
yes.
he run a different way?
He ran back the same way because my husband was right behind him. He was just leaving the kitchen when my husband was making it down the hall. So my husband just briefly saw the back of him take okay. off. So he ran in the alley, and there was no one in the alley, and there was there was a man loading his truck in the alley, and he looked at my husband. My husband's standing there in his underwear with a baseball bat, just crazy. And the man, I guess, was scared. And
afraid of your husband.
Yes, and my husband said, "Have you seen anybody?" And he said, "No." So we're thinking he had a walk. That's how he must have gotten in and out.
Through the front.
Through the side, yeah. Okay. And then a neighbor came over when the police were there and said that about the same time her dogs were barking as if somebody were in her backyard.
Okay, so maybe he hopped the wall or hopped the fence and disappeared through the neighbor's yard.
Or that's what I thought. But everybody else thinks that he tried her house first, then the next house over had a dog and a lock on their side gate.
Okay.
I don't really know why. I'm thinking he left our house and ran through her yard.
Okay.
That sounds better to me because I don't see how he would have not gone to the neighbor right next door. I don't know.
Okay. Now, you had an alarm system installed. Did you hit the panic button? After your husband and your son chased him out, what did you do?
Okay, that's interesting because I knew the little one was asleep in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm. How far away was that?
Right across the hall. I was scared to death to open that bedroom door, thinking he wasn't going to be there or he was hurt.
Okay.
Because I don't know how long the guy had been in the house for.
Right.
When I woke up, I said good morning to my other son. I went into his bedroom, but I didn't go into the living room or the dining room. He could have been standing there.
Okay.
So I was scared to death to open that door. And when I did it, and I saw my son laying there, that was a miracle.
Yeah.
So I grabbed him up, and I took him outside, and we went to the neighbors. And I banged on my neighbor's door. And I didn't know her husband was out of town. He's a professional photographer. So he wasn't home, but it took her a while to answer the door. And I thought, oh my God, they're not answering. I thought maybe he got to them or something. I didn't know, and I had 911 on the phone the whole time. The lady.
So you picked up a handset and then left.
On my way out, yes.
On your way out? Okay.
I grabbed my handset. I called 911 and the operator was so nice. She wouldn't let me go. She made me stay on the phone till the police came. And, so then the neighbor came out, and then my son, the 17-year-old, came back, and, he was standing with me, put a blanket on me, and, then the police showed up. My husband got himself dressed, and There were two cops that responded, and
how long did it take them to respond?
Forever.
Do you know how much real time that is? I know it may seem like forever, but was it like 10 minutes?
It was like 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And the first guy that came was really nice, you know, the first policeman. And the second one told me to calm down.
Okay.
And I'm like, F you. Yeah. I am not going to calm down. How can you, you know, how can you tell somebody to calm down? I was shaking.
Yeah.
And it was really cold out. My hair was still wet because I didn't get to finish blow drying it. And it was like just your worst nightmare. And you think you're so safe, but you're not. You can never be safe.
So just to recap, you paused at your bedroom door and then went inside and grabbed your son and then grabbed one of your mobile phones, not mobile phone, but cordless phone.
Yes, a cordless phone. And then
went over to your neighbor's house while talking to 911.
Yes, because my range, my phone will reach that far.
Yeah, the 900 megahertz, they can go quite a distance.
Yes, yeah. And then I called the surrounding neighbors, and I went to the surrounding doors. I wanted to alert everybody in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, this was after the police had arrived?
Yes, and, well, yeah, after the police came, so, I went to the rest of the neighborhood.
So when you, after the initial incident, you went into your neighbor's house and you were talking to the police and the police...
I was outside.
You're outside, okay.
I did not go into her house. It was early in the morning and she has a little boy and I didn't want to scare him.
Okay. And the police came to your house and then went over to your neighbor's house?
No, they saw me at my neighbor's in her driveway and they came over. And then they went and searched the house, my house. It was really foggy out that morning. So... they had other units responding because they were taking roll call at that time at Racina, okay. West Valley. So they came and they drove throughout the neighborhood and they spotted him running.
Oh, they did?
Uh-huh, okay. Towards Victory. The chills. And couldn't catch him because they cordoned off the neighborhood and they shut down the school.
Okay.
Haines Street School. And they shut down the school, but they couldn't get a helicopter because it was so foggy. They were grounded.
Okay.
Just my luck. And he ran and threw us, you know, the backyards and got away.
Okay. Now, does your house, you had an alarm system. You didn't think, you just immediately went to your son. He wanted to get out of the house. You didn't think to hit the panic button on the alarm system.
It wasn't hooked up to the central station.
Oh, okay.
It was just there.
Okay. So it was kind of just a local, you know, alert you if somebody comes in
through right. the front door. Right, but we didn't have it on.
It didn't turn on.
Now, you can bet your life and mine that we have a private patrol, the police station, and that alarm's is loud. I've set it off several times.
Okay. Now, before that, were there stickers up? Were there signs saying that the house was armed? And
yes.
So that was no deterrent then?
No deterrent. It's amazing. Because there's signs all over the place that say, you know, alarm by. And we had it on our side fence. It's amazing that the person must have really, you know, he must have been watching for a while to know that. But why would somebody come into your house when everybody's home anyway?
Yeah, it seems very, very odd, very unusual for somebody to go into an obviously occupied house.
Right.
So early in the
morning. And not to take anything. Obviously, he didn't want to hurt me. Physically, it didn't get that far.
Correct.
However, he didn't take any of the knives that he passed. He didn't come with a gun. He could have easily had something to hurt, you know, to kill me with.
So... and what did the police tell you besides calm down? You said one was very nice, but what did they tell you anything?
They said he was an opportunist, he was coming down probably from meth or something, and he was probably looking for something. They don't know what, but because he didn't take any money, they just said he was an opportunist.
Hmm.
he found a door that was open. But I don't buy that because he had been in the area.
Right.
So he wasn't just a happen opportunist. He knew what he was doing.
Did the police recommend anything to you?
Yes, they told us to get a gun.
They told you to get a gun?
Yes.
Okay. How did it make you feel?
Kind of torn, because I would like to get a gun, and I told my husband, don't tell me if you have it. Just put it away where no one will ever find it. You know, we're not a background of guns or... But now my husband has turned his life around a little bit, and he's all pro-guns. Every cop that came to our house said that.
Really?
That they each had a gun. And, you know...
Well, beyond their service weapon, they have a gun for home
protection. Yes. And we went through with every one of them the legalities of having a gun and what your limits are. And, you know, if you were to shoot him, I still don't want a gun. You know, I told my husband, you have a bat. If my husband had got that guy, he would be dead without a gun because he would have killed him with that baseball bat. No doubt.
Yeah.
Because my husband's a big guy, like you, and he would have massacred him. So then we would have had bigger problems, you know.
Possibly, yes.
And if you do shoot somebody in your house and it's justified, you still got problems.
Yes.
And we have kids, and I don't want a gun, but... this person, you know, left us with really no choice but to do what we have to do to protect ourselves.
Did the police say anything else or recommend anything else?
No, you know, I don't know what they do, but the investigators, I had to call them and give them, you know, look, there's a house I think you should check out, you know. I went and online and went to all the websites for rapists and, you know, in your area, you can pull up halfway houses. Well, not halfway houses, but people in your area. And I told, you know, I suggested that they pull up halfway houses in the area and criminals living in the area. And they haven't come up with anything.
So this guy hasn't been seen again in your neighborhood? Have you seen him?
No. And I continue to drive around a lot looking for him.
You still do?
Yes.
And this is 7 or 8 months later, you still just take a drive through the neighborhood?
Oh, yeah. It'll be 7 years from now, and I'll still be looking for him.
Okay.
And I had to go give a sketch at the police department. They made a sketch. And they wouldn't let me pass it out in the area because they wanted to find him first. Still, I've seen no sketch.
Well, you haven't seen the finished sketch? So you didn't even know if it...
Oh, no, I saw the finished sketch.
How close was it?
It was pretty close. But they've come by with millions of pictures to, you know, have you seen this? Is he on this sheet? Is he on that? I mean, I will know when I see him in person. I told them, look, I need a lineup. I can't look at a picture because your pictures are old. In person is more, would be more accurate.
Okay. So what have you done to change? I know we talked a little bit about it earlier, but what have you done to protect your house more now?
Immediately we changed the door that night. We had somebody come over and take the door out. Which is a shame because I wanted, you know, a glass door right there in my laundry room because it would brighten up the whole house. Well, I can't have that now. My husband's in the process of building the brick wall up with wood, make it a little higher.
Okay.
Oh, we got the alarm hooked up. Okay. And we have, you know, the... private security coming and the central station. he installed cameras.
Okay.
So, which we can see from our TV. We have the camera on usually at night, watching the street, or in the daytime we even have it on.
Is it recorded?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In fact, last night somebody drove by and with firecrackers in front of the house. I don't know if they were aiming for us, but my husband got it on the tape. We got a dog. She's half chow, half golden retriever, so she's mean and nice. And I really didn't want another dog, but you have to have a dog. I need to have somebody there to say, hey, somebody's on the premises.
Yeah.
And we put up the lights that flash.
Motion sensors?
Yes, motion sensors. And we have signs that say, you know, warning, neighborhood watch. I haven't gone as far as starting a neighborhood watch because my neighbors are really nosy anyway. Thank God they are because they know everything.
Okay.
A lot of them, there's not a house that doesn't have a bench in front of their house. When you drive down my neighborhood, every house has a bench. And directly across from us are neighbors that smoke in both houses. So, but they come outside to smoke, so they sit outside in the front.
Okay.
They don't miss a trick. But, and the man that lives directly behind me on the other side of the alley, you know, he's like, I'm so in shock that this happened. And I go, you know, it's scary living on the alley. And he said, oh, we're right behind you. We can hear stuff. I said, well, where were you that morning? You know, you didn't hear me yelling then. So, and
at 6 a.m., he was probably still asleep.
Right. And the point is, I usually leave at 10 to 6, because I work not far away. And now my husband walks me out to my car every morning.
Okay.
And then there's a neighbor down the street that leaves the same time I do. So he's totally, you know, on the lookout when he drives by my house. And
does he also let you cut your hair?
Yes, I cut my hair.
So you don't have to blow dry it anymore?
Yes. Well, I blow dry it, but it only takes a few minutes. And now when I bend over, I look, I'm towards the wall. My butt's towards the wall now, not towards the door.
Okay.
And I lock the bathroom door when I get in.
Okay.
And that's all we can do. I mean, we can move. But I would be afraid no matter where I went.
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter. Cause,
and this is a nice neighborhood.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not scary ghetto.
I know.
This is West Hills, Woodland Hills, and next to Calabasas. It's a very nice
right.
neighborhood.
And that's why the police, they were on it for a while, for good month, you know, coming over. They sent out people to take shoe prints, fingerprints, DNA. Nothing came out of that. And, you know, the assemblyman wrote us a letter. And they did take special interest in it because it is such a safe neighborhood. You know, nothing ever happens. But you can't say nothing will ever happen. I don't know how, I'm thinking, how did he get here? People don't, you know, just transients just don't hang out down here.
Yeah. He must have walked in or drove in or something.
Or took a bus. Because after that, and I want to remind you that Christmas time, from Thanksgiving to Christmas time, is when you really have to be aware of things. Because that's when they're criminal, that's when the that's when criminals are at their best, because they need Christmas stuff, or it's a good opportunity for them to get good things.
Well, because people are making purchases.
Right.
And so they've got stockpiles of stuff.
Right. I'm sure statistics for stereos that are stolen from cars are during that period. And TVs out of cars, you know, the DVD players. So after that, we've gotten a million solicitors, like, during the month. And
solicitors for what?
Soliciting to give money for homeless people or churches. And So one solicitor came to my house at 9 o'clock at night, an African American man that had no teeth. So my husband, we were really uptight, you know, for the first month or two. Mm-hmm. Anybody that came near our house, you know, you were a suspect.
Right.
And like that's just human nature, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely.
So my husband got in the truck with my son and followed this guy because he came to my door and he wouldn't answer when I asked, "Who is it? Who is it?" So then I went around to the side and I looked and I saw him. And I just quickly closed the drapes. And my husband watched him walk. And he walked to one more house and then left the neighborhood. So my husband was like really suspicious of him. So he followed him down to the corner by... he called the police, and I called the police saying, "My husband's, you know, following this guy. You better go down there." And they did, and they arrested him for, he was a convicted burglar. And they took him in, but they couldn't hold him for anything. He wasn't in violation of his parole. Can you believe that? He was not in violation of his parole. He was able to solicit people for money because he had a piece of paper.
Was he working for the church or a church?
No. They don't know, but he had a piece of paper that was legit for some fundraiser thing.
Okay. So it's possible that he was just going from house to house to get people to open their door so he could look inside.
Yes, in case your house.
In just case the house.
So my kids know never to answer that door. Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing, and the police told me, don't ever answer that door.
Now, answer me by opening up, or?
No, don't. Well, they said you can either not say anything, mm-hmm. or, now my husband still hasn't done this, and you have to... When you say you're going to do something, you have to follow through with it right away. Like, mm-hmm. he's going to put a camera right at the front door so we don't have to, if we don't want to answer it, we'll see who's standing there. And we don't have to say anything. My thought is I'm scared to let them think no one's at home.
Right.
I'd rather them know somebody's at home, but they're going to hear the dog barking now anyway.
Exactly. The dog will let them know that somebody is
home. Right.
Two-legged or four-legged.
Right. And we couldn't get another Doberman because no insurance company will insure your home now if you have a Rottweiler, Pitbull, Doberman, German Shepherd, or Akita.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't heard that.
You know. They don't even like Chows, but since she's mixed.
Right. Mixed with a very nice
dog. Yes.
Yeah, Labs are great dogs.
Yeah. Well, she's a Golden Retriever, but same thing as a Lab. She's crazy nice. So, and that's, you know, that's about it. But when you watch scary movies, it is a reality.
So it's not too over-dramatized in the films.
No. Maybe, and I don't really watch scary movies because they stay with me. But mm-hmm. I have watched a few and I've seen women attacked in their home. So maybe that was a good thing. Because I always thought, God, what if I ever, you know, came home and saw some stranger? I mean, I only got away because my family was home. If they weren't home, we might not be having this conversation here. Maybe in the hospital or something, Looney Tune Bin.
No, you would have been okay.
I don't know.
You're tough. You're
yeah,
tough.
Well, you have to be.
Absolutely. Yeah, you were fighting back. You weren't just standing there and taking it.
Oh, no.
So he threw elbows and everything else and tried to get out.
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Which is what you need to do.
Right. You have to scream and do whatever you can, I guess, to stay alive, let alone get the hell out of there. I mean, if it happened again, and sometimes it's just better to cooperate. Like, if I was alone, I might have wanted just to cooperate to get him the hell out of the house. Mm-hmm. Because there would be nothing. If I would have hit him with my blow dryer, he could have hit me back.
Right. Well, obviously, everything happened and in a way that no one got hurt.
Right. Thank God.
So, and that's the important thing.
And the important thing is my kids.
Absolutely.
But now my son sits wherever he goes, his baseball bat's with him.
Mm-hmm. So whenever he walks around the house, mm-hmm. the baseball bat's always within grabbing distance?
They're by everybody's beds. I'm sure my husband has gotten a gun, but I don't want to know about it. They told him that he could get a safe with, which he did get a safe. And it, you just push a button and it opens a certain code. Because I'm like, what good is a gun if it takes forever to get it out?
Exactly. Yeah, but you have to keep, especially with kids.
Right.
Your kids aren't too young.
No, they're not too young. And at first, you know, my husband said everybody's going to have to take, you know, shooting lessons. Mm-hmm. I don't want to because I don't want to kill somebody because you're never going to be the same either way, I guess. Although better him than me.
Also true. Yeah, especially if somebody's coming at you. You have to protect yourself.
So now I do have a panic button, and we've done everything that basically we can do. I don't go outside in the backyard, though, at night by myself, and I'm kind of scared during the day my son comes with me with his bat. That's basically it. The cops, I haven't heard from them, and they drive by. I see them drive by occasionally.
Okay, so they do drive by now.
Yes. They drive up and down the alley, too. And that's it. And the neighbors are aware.
It's always good to have an extra pair of eyes.
One thing that really sucks is that in the summer, I always sleep with my window open. Mm-hmm. My window faces the front. And I've never, you know, I love having the window open, and I can't have the window open anymore. So that stinks. And we don't like to be alone at night either.
Right.
Even though it didn't happen at night, like, I felt safest in the morning. I thought everybody thinks,
close to being
out. Everybody thinks you're the safest in the morning, but they said no, because people that are on drugs, that's when they're tweaking, as they put it. And they're looking for more. And they're crazy.
They're coming off their nightly binges.
Yeah. Don't do... It's just a shock as why somebody like that would be in my neighborhood. And everybody needs to be aware of people in your neighborhood. That's what you need to... People need to preach that. If you see somebody that doesn't belong, you can always call the police station. They told me, call anytime. You can call 911. And then they're going to tell you, you know, they'll send somebody out to check. Although, I don't know how credible that is either.
Yeah.
But at least you will have felt better if you see somebody that is out of place, especially loitering in an alley.
Yeah.
You know, you got to do something.
Okay, well, really appreciate you sharing your story with us.
All right, thank you.
That a lot of people are going to get a lot out of this.
Yeah, well, you think you're safe, but don't take it for granted. Always be aware when you get into a car. Now when I go to the mall at night, I valet park it. I don't care how much it costs.
Okay, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and when I'm anywhere, even in the day, I check around the car. And I have a big car, so I check the back of the car. Somebody could be hiding in there. I mean, I'm paranoid. And people should be paranoid.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I really
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Before we close, I want to welcome back a good friend to podcasting. Master Steve Pender is back with a new podcast called Martial Arts Masters of Texas. Now, you might remember Master Pender as the creator and original host of KarateCast, which was the net's first and largest podcast on traditional martial arts. So welcome back, Master Pender. We wish you all the best in your new show. And for those interested in downloading it, you can get it from iTunes and other podcatchers under the name Martial Art Masters of Texas. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast at alexhaddox.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddox.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe.